Double time, death for Hitler's cook. A magic child guinea pig may appear outlandish in our day. Even so, there remains an obvious question: who was Adolf Hitler's look-alike cook? Why wasn't the 1945 Berlin decoy officially identified after all these years? Whose body was actually sprawled out in the Chancellery ruins if the fake bad double was not the mimic Gustav Weller? According to the Reich modus operandi, the sole deserving person to die in place of the defeated realm leader, by an unyielding Germanic code of conduct, would probably have been the highest-ranking doppelganger closest to the dictator. Julius Schreck was the earliest commander of the SS, in charge of Hitler's secret bodyguard company. Even if it was reported in the world press that Pistol Schreck died in 1936, his death details deceptively disagreed. From meningitis to a car accident and from an infected tooth to a mistaken assassination, Schreck's pretended death elusiveness concentrated a cloud of far-reaching propaganda. The doppelganger chauffeur that slept in his clothes for weeks at a time may well have been wearing sparingly darned socks with holes in them as a dead chancellery chef. But to make public that Hitler's imitator Julius Schreck faked his previously assumed death in Munich, as groundwork for decoy politics, would openly fan the flames of suspicion that the Nazi dictator fabricated his own death as well. Satanist Aleister Crowley actually did fake his death on at least one occasion. Even though it's illegal to do so by most modern statutes, falsifying death was perhaps a trial run for a future strategy. In September 1930, Crowley was in Lisbon to meet the poet Fernando Pessoa, who translated into Portuguese his poem Hymn to Pen, and was passionate for thrillers. With the assistance of Pessoa, he faked his own death at a notorious rock formation on the shore called Boca do Inferno, Mouth of Hell. In fact, Crowley left the country and enjoyed the newspaper reports of his death reappearing 3 weeks later at an exhibition in Berlin. Wikipedia.org. Aleister Crowley's intention to gain access to the Bavarian Illuminati led him in 1912 to Theodor Reuss, an Anglo-German tantric occultist, anarchist, and police spy. Reuss was the head of the Ordo Templi Orientis, OTO, a Germanic fraternal occult and magical organization that accused Crowley of publishing the group's secrets. This set off a high-flying exchange of snooping that led at length to Aleister Crowley becoming Grand Master, outer head of the order, of OTO. He introduced the practice of male homosexual sex magic into the OTO. In his mystery play The Ship, 1913, and other works, Crowley made coy disclosure of an incarnated crony guard of secret signs and words he called Julian or Julius. Therefore, however well a man might remember his incarnation as Julius Caesar, there is no necessity for his representing his power to set all upon the hazard of a die by imagining the Rubicon. Even a Julian could confute this sort of thing, but are we to rest forever in negation? Had there been five righteous men in Rome, a Cato, a Brutus, a Curtius, a Scipio, and a Julian, nothing would have occurred, but there was only the last, and he too late. Let me run wild for once, I beg, I am tired of emulating Mr. Storer Clouston's Sir Julian. Joseph Storer Clouston was a Scottish author and historian who influenced some writings of Aleister Crowley. Clouston's first popular novel was The Lunatic at Large, 1899. His thriller The Spy in Black, 1917, was made into a successful film in the 1930s. Storer Clouston published his bizarre beast Mark the Spy in 1941. If the Mark of the Beast looked like a Nazi tyrant's swastika or SS death's head, his chauffeur Julius Schreck was well matched to put in order the decoy preparations of the Third Reich. For in spite of everything else, the Bavarian body double chum Julian happened to be the wickedest person's masked gunman, from the earliest days of their comradeship. With his rogue spy network, the new boss of a Germanic occult fraternity would infiltrate the security and intelligence communities of Britain and the Weimar Republic. Crowley ale and St. Julian tobacco were trendy and well-liked in Munich's beer halls. Brewing industry chemist Julian Baker first introduced Ale Baron Crowley to the magical order of the Golden Dawn. The Producers was a 1968 comedy film by Mel Brooks, and remade in 2005 by the Broadway director Susan Stroman. It tells the story of theatrical producers who try to bamboozle their investors by deliberately presenting a fiasco Broadway show entitled Springtime for Hitler. In his lampoon, Brooks compares the Third Reich to a shaky designed-to-fail investment scam that utterly backfires. The worst director in the business is hired to interview the Führer's doppelgangers. During the casting calls, the doubles stand on a soapbox to practice the part of Adolf Hitler, voice tasteless musical tunes, and rehearse the Siegfried Oath. In actual fact, the task of directing Hitler's doubles was a full-time activity like an undercover model agency calling for wardrobe, styling, and makeup experts. As said by one report, the doubles were given voice and movement instruction, and they mastered Hitler's soft conversational voice and distinctive walk. For example, the stenographer Heinrich Berger filled in as Hitler's double at strategic meetings and briefings. To lead on the Reich's generals, he played up not only Hitler's physical appearance but also his speaking style. In addition, look-alike Berger had to be utterly loyal to the Führer in order to be let into protected German military nerve centers. In view of the fact that a bomb at the Wolf's Lair headquarters killed Heinrich Berger in the July 20th plot, his evident duty was to imitate Hitler for purposes of national security. Gustav Weller, on the other hand, was more of a performer. Although Weller remarkably resembled the Führer, he had a bohemian style and fancied making fun of Nazis. Weller perhaps gave special preference to a pageant player like the Master of Ceremonies in the musical Cabaret, 1972, with Liza Minnelli. The Berghof was Adolf Hitler's home in the Obersalzberg of the Bavarian Alps near Berchtesgaden, on the same mountain as the Kelsteinhaus, or Eagle's Nest. When Martin Bormann, in charge of the party chancellery and Hitler's confidential secretary, reportedly presented look-alike Gustav Weller to the Führer at the Berghof, Hitler was infuriated. Weller's imposture may have rattled the Berghof like a floor show in the Kit Kat Club. Heinrich Hoffmann was Hitler's personal photographer and corporate image maker. Eva Braun was Hoffmann's model and darkroom assistant when she met Herr Wolf and became the Führer's companion. Perhaps Bormann had Gustav Weller filmed at the Berghof with Hoffmann's 16mm movie camera. The dictator's piercing blue eyes in political posters are not discernible in some of his private home flicks. Nonetheless, the Führer probably regarded Gustav Weller as an untrustworthy security risk, and Bormann impulsively ushered the doppelganger off to Munich. Eva Braun was later quoted making a criticism pertaining to Hitler's Munich-based double, that he wears built-up shoes to overcome a height difference. Slight details of identification had to be handled with care when dealing with a double. Duplicating eye color accurately presented a perceptible doppelganger obstacle. The first contact lenses were manufactured from glass and fit to cover the eyes. By 1939, contact lenses were made from plastic. Colored contact lenses could have been actively exploited as early as the First World War. Changing eye color was part of the horrific experiments conducted by Joseph Mengele, the garrison physician of the Auschwitz concentration camp. Dr. Mengele had dye injected into the eyes of several subjects. The fingerprint issue was not a difficult problem in the early days of Nazism. The idea of fingerprints as a method of identification had been recommended in the 1800s, but it was not until 1924 that an act of Congress established the Identification Division of the FBI. And by then, Hitler already led the German National Socialist Party. Later, of course, the Gestapo maintained full control over all fingerprints kept in Germany's law enforcement files. Adolf Hitler's scorched remains had no surface skin to yield fingerprints. Perhaps the biggest attention-grabbing political decoy in those days was M.E. Clifton James, a soldier who persuasively impersonated British General Bernard Monty Montgomery for intelligence missions during World War II. The actor David Niven purportedly notified Clifton James in May 1944 that the British Armed Forces required James to imitate the war commander, so that Montgomery could be elsewhere, thus fooling the Germans. Some historians circulated a story that Norman Shelley, impersonating Prime Minister Winston Churchill for radio, recorded some of Churchill's speeches during World War II. Shelley later recorded a recital of Churchill's "We Shall Fight on the Beaches" speech. Joseph Stalin was also said to have used a double, known only as Rashid. Officials at the KGB reportedly found out that Rashid was a Stalin doppelganger and utilized him to impersonate the Soviet dictator at some public meetings after World War II. It is claimed that additional KGB lookalikes were on hand as well. Rashid allegedly spent years studying the behavior of Stalin in propaganda films. According to an official Soviet dispatch, the Third Reich engaged several doubles and public appearances. The names, photos, and details of at least four Hitler doubles were classified in intelligence files. After the capitulation of the Third Reich, Hitler had to die for the sake of vindication. There could be no doubt of his death. To be sure, training several lookalikes would have required an auditorium with a runway, used by the doppelgangers to demonstrate their gestures and frills. That concealed operation was certainly not left to chance, but must have required a commander of the Schutzstaffel. It would have been just the thing if the Chancellery lookalike were the highest-ranking SS doppelganger, the masked gunman Julian from the start, perhaps lastly as the Führer bunker chef or food taster who went to his grave with his SS decoy secrets.